So this is the very first cue of the film demoed in 1999. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to fade this out and play the recorded version once Nigel had orchestrated it. So Little Vampire really was an absolute age ago in terms of technology and what was open to us as composers. And I remember we had a Roland JV-1080, which was a brilliant, brilliant synthesizer and still is to this day a fantastic synthesizer. It had a great, great bunch of programmed sounds in there that really you didn't have to do anything with as far as the sound itself was concerned. There was a huge amount of programming to do in order to make it sound vaguely musical, but the actual sound itself was great for the time. And then we also had an Akai S3000 sampler, which I don't think I used nearly as much as I possibly should have done at the time. But I did have access to a few libraries at the time, but not that many. I mean, I'm thinking back, 1999, there probably were libraries out there, but I had time, to be honest, to explore all of them. I was too busy, Nigel and I were too busy writing the music to explore other sound libraries. We knew it was going to get recorded with an orchestra at the end of the day anyway, so didn't worry too much about the sound of the demo in terms of what you could get in terms of samples. Having said that, I spent hours and hours and hours and hours and hours programming the demos to make them sound in some way acceptable, so that a director or producer listening to them would have some idea of what the end result might be, and that was always a really tricky thing to do. but before any type of computer technology was available to us, composers used to be able to change the music on the recording floor. And so, if a director or a producer said that bit isn't working there, I need something a different feeling in those few beats or those bars, then the composer would be able to refer to his click book and know exactly how many beats needed to be deleted or added in order to make the scene work for the director. So already in the late 90s, the technology was sufficient for us to be able to give a decent enough demo so that the director or the producer knew what they were going to get in a very vague way. So that's what we did. We produced however many demos. Every single cue of the film was demoed up. There were roughly about 50 cues in the film, over 5 reels. And I remember we had a very efficient system whereby we would mark down which one had been written, demoed, presented, accepted, orchestrated, in that order. And so it was very good to see lots of green ticks at the end of the project, obviously. But I remember once we were told a long time back from a very eminent film composer to have lots of paperwork and to organize oneself so that you can see how much progress you're making throughout the project. And then the actual creative process itself, Nigel and I would write together for a good, I don't know, 6-7 hours or something. I can't remember. It was from 10 in the morning to something like 6 or 7 in the evening, something like that. So more than 6 or 7 hours. And then I would program all the demos that we'd all the music that we'd written into some demos that sounded vaguely acceptable. I then exported all those demos out from my sequencer into my notation software as a short score, and he would then orchestrate the short score. And that went on for 6 weeks, I think. We had 83 minutes of music to write in 6 weeks. It was pretty brutal. But looking back on it, great, great fun. So the very first ideas that we had for the film, we knew it was a film about vampires. We knew it was a family film, but we didn't know how scary or not Richard Klaus or Anthony Waller wanted it. And I, my impression is that the very first demo we did was a little bit too scary. Richard or Anthony said, we don't want to be too scary, we want to be more accessible for family viewing. And I remember toning that down with Nigel. And then I think we wrote the sort of sweet friendship theme, if you like. And I remember writing that with a piano. And I think I remember rightly, we recorded Life Flute, actually. We presented that as our sort of verging on romantic comedy, I guess, idea versus the sort of scary vampire idea. Then, in the end, the demos that those were the initial demos that we did without picture, actually. And then, as soon as we saw picture, it became really, really clear to us what needed to be done. So we were able to use that friendship theme, and we were able to use the vampire theme, but we molded them both to suit the picture far more by that point. So skipping to the end of the production, I remember going to Sofia in Bulgaria with Nigel and the team, Robin Page, Anthony Waller, and getting to the studio for the first time and seeing this sea of orchestral players out in front of us. And it was the biggest thrill to see them all play our score that we'd worked so hard on for the previous 6 weeks. And it was immense fun for me, really, to play the piano parts in with them. And I would skip from the recording stage back to the booth and listen back to the different takes that we'd recorded. It was a really big thrill to do that. And then to hear it all come together with Jerry O'Riordan's fantastic mix back at Snake Ranch Studios. That was a really fantastic experience and something I will treasure forever. I just want to take the opportunity to thank Alhambra Records for re-releasing the soundtrack, and of course to Nigel and to Richard Klaus, Anthony Waller, and all those involved in the production, Robin Page, who conducted, and Daryl Griffiths, who did some extra orchestrations. I just want to thank everyone involved in the team. It was a fantastic thing to be involved with and enjoy.